let's get started with another podcast, another episode of The Reason Why, a podcast where we get to know a little bit more about what people do, how they do it, and why they do what they do. And our special guest today is Michael. Michael has been an online teacher for a while now. We'll get to know a little bit more about him in a minute. And he's the host of the Level Up English podcast. And a curiosity about him is the fact that he's learning Japanese and Chinese at the moment. He's got an amazing podcast with 122 episodes as we speak. It's a pleasure to have you here on the show, Michael. I want to welcome you and let's have fun together.
Thank you very much. It's so good to be here. And that was a really, really kind introduction too. So thank you. Thank you for the compliments.
My pleasure. It's the second time I have a teacher on the show. My first guest ever was a Canadian teacher who happens to live in Switzerland. She's from Canada, but actually living in Switzerland. And where are you based, by the way?
It's not that exciting for me. So obviously I'm from England and I'm still based here, but I'm in London now, which is not my home.
London.
I'm originally from the southwest, a region called Cornwall in the southwest of England.
Why did you decide to move to London, by the way, if I may ask?
I think a big reason was it was a year ago, when the pandemic was still here, and I really love travel. So I wanted to kind of get the feeling of travel without actually leaving the country. And London is such a diverse city. Like, there's people from all over the world, restaurants from all over the world. You can get anything here. So I wanted to kind of experience what life is like here. And it has been amazing. It's a really nice city.
Fair enough. What's the best thing about London, if you can tell us?
I think there's just something, there's always something going on. Like, you can go for a walk in the center. It's peaceful. It's calm because you can sit by the river, have coffee. You almost forget that you're in the biggest city in the country. And yet you walk one street away and people are rushing to work and beeping their horns on the street. So I love the energy. And I also love the calmness. It's like the contrast. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
it does.
You get a bit of both.
And you're also a CELTA holder, CELTA teacher. You've got a certificate by Cambridge. Because I like it because it shows, as a teacher myself, it shows how dedicated, how willing to go deeper you are as a teacher. Not everybody is willing to take the next step and go the extra mile. And would you tell us just a little bit, just for people who are maybe students or teachers alike who are willing or who are maybe thinking of pursuing a career as a teacher, like briefly, what the CELTA is all about?
Yeah. I mean, CELTA is only something I did this year. I did it at the beginning of this year. And it's quite a well-respected teaching qualification, especially for teaching English as a foreign language. And it's really good for getting jobs around the world. It's quite well respected. It's a good one. And basically it trains you in making lesson plans, dealing with different kind of lesson, like teaching styles. And also you have quite a lot of lesson practice too. So I think if you're a new teacher, it's really good because it's going to give you the practice you need to get into teaching. And it just makes you look a bit more professional too, which is why I got it now, because I've been teaching for quite a few years, but I just wanted to give people a little bit more confidence in me, as a teacher.
I get you. That's exactly it. These are probably the same reasons why I took it. Like, back in the day, a little while ago, but it really does. It does help teachers to be well recognized and get better opportunities, if I may say.
Yeah. I guess you took it in person, right? You probably went to
a classroom. Mine was in person, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, now, because of the pandemic, mine was all online. Yeah.
Yeah, mine was in person. Very intense lessons. A couple of months, I guess. Yeah, pretty intense. Yeah, but nice experience.
Tough, yeah.
I don't regret a bit of it. Speaking of teaching, right? I don't want to give spoilers, but already did, of course, but it's okay. Tell us what it is that you do. Tell us in a little more details. I mean, you work with adults only, teenagers, executives.
So as you hinted at, I teach English online. And I'm not very good at making like a niche. I've never been good at niching down and being specific. So I really teach anyone. I tend to focus on adults. Sometimes I do exam training. Sometimes it's conversation practice or grammar practice. Usually something to kind of help them leave their comfort zone and hopefully make a better life for themselves. So that's what I really enjoy. When I can help a student change their lives in some significant way. And it could be like getting a job. It could be helping them learn English to travel or to you know, immigrate to another country, something like that. That's what I find really exciting. I love the idea that work that I do has a small part in helping people reach their dreams, their goals, you know, so generally adults and sometimes kids.
This is such an amazing thing because I relate to that a lot. Mm. When you tell me that you do your best or your efforts are directed in a way that you help them improve their lives and reach their goals, reach their dreams. Some people may call it a cliche. When I tell people I help them reach their goals and be better individuals, but that's really what we're doing. Right. We're not just teaching them English, are we?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a good teacher can do more than that, right?
That's
I feel
what
like
I'm
it's
saying.
Not just here's the grammar, here's what you have to learn. I feel like it can be much more.
I see it in a very different way, from a different perspective, just like you do. Right. We are teachers as well, but we are not only teachers. Whenever people ask me what I do for a living, I say one of the things is I teach English as well, but there's more than that. There's more to it. Much more motivation and trainings, people who have different purposes, different goals, and you have to help them achieve their goals, right? Mm-hmm. And how do you feel when some student or a few students probably have come to you telling you you really help them and they achieve their goals?
I can think of like a couple examples where I've been helping students with the IELTS exam.
There you go.
And they got a really good score. And because of that, they were able to move to Canada, or they were able to go and do it, you know, move to London to study or something like that. And I will never take credit for that because I feel like they did the hard work, not me. Mm-hmm. But I like to think that I helped in some way, of course. And when they kind of said a thank you, they sent me an email like, here's my score, I'm going to go to London or something. It just like makes all of your hard work worth it. You know, it's a great feeling. It's really satisfying that it feels like you're making a difference. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, that's why I'm trying to move away from teaching kids so much, because very often in a one-to-one class, kids, they don't really want to learn. They just want to talk about video games or something. And I don't feel that same satisfaction with children. It's not quite the same. So, yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good reason why you're not teaching children nowadays. And you probably never really thought about it that much. Why am I not teaching children? Because probably you probably like children, but maybe that's a reason why.
Yeah, it's a very different thing, isn't it?
It is.
I don't know if you do.
I've had the experience. I've taught 9-year-olds and around 8 to 9-year-olds and also teenagers. Hmm. I have to tell you, it's not my thing. It's not my cup of tea. I mean, they're great. They're high energy, lots of good energy and everything. But there's no connection in terms of really helping them achieve goals.
Yeah.
Just like you said, because they're mostly they're just there because their parents want them to learn English or because they may need English someday in the future. They don't really understand the importance at that point. It's different from an adult, right?
Yeah, it's tough.
Quite interesting. Thank you for sharing. And what about, this is what's YouTube? And now you said you've been doing this for a while. How long has it been? Around
5 years, I think. Five years or so, yeah. So yeah, I think I counted the other day. I think since I started, I've had like 600 students.
Oh.
So obviously they're not all here at the moment, but over the whole time, I've had 600.
Sure. Absolutely.
Which is just unbelievable to think about that.
It is. In 5 years, that's a lot.
Yeah. I hope it's not too much, because that would mean they keep leaving. But
but some of them just come and go. I can tell I can say it myself. Yeah, it's just temporary for 3 months, maybe 6 months. Some of them stay for longer, for 3 years.
You have different types of students. So some of them, they have an exam. Once they get to their exam, they're done, and that's fine. Yeah,
it's not because they don't need in English. They don't need English anymore. It's just because they feel like, oh, not anymore, not for now.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, exactly. What about the reason? Actually, not the reason, but the how. I always like to ask my guests the how. How do you do what you do? I mean, what's the differentiator? What sets you apart in terms of, you know, I found this way to work better than other ways? I'm not asking you it's the best way or it's better than other ways, but just why you do things the way you do.
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't say already, I love the questions you ask. They're so simple, but they're so such good questions. And yeah, how is it? It was a huge one. I mean, when you start, you don't really have an idea of what you're doing. You kind of develop as you go. I feel like now I focus a lot on giving as much value as I can. Mm-hmm. And I really think it's the little things that make a big difference. Like, you know, you can go, for example, you go to a hotel. It might be something really small. Like there'll be like a snack on the table when you go into the hotel room. And it costs them like no money at all to prepare that. But it's just the thought that makes a big difference in how you perceive your stay. So I try to focus on like all the little things I can do to give value and give them a good experience, like my students. And it's just things like, you know, I put a lot of work into writing notes, lesson notes, where anything we learn, any corrections we make, I make like a really hopefully attractive PDF, which I send to them after each lesson. I put a lot of work into my lesson materials. I make it clear to my students that they can contact me between lessons, by chat, if they've got little questions. So I try to do that to try and stand out, you know, because I think there's so many teachers nowadays, and a lot of them see it as, you know, this is your hour, and then afterwards, that's it. You know, you're not paying me for this time. But I like to see it as more of like a ongoing relationship.
I like
is that a how? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe just remodeled it. Just brought me a new way of explaining how to do things. I really liked it. I really liked it. It's interesting. You see, you want to create this rapport. You want to give them this feeling that, hey, I'm not just another student. I'm not just paying him. And I have 2 classes a week and that's it. I cannot get in touch with them anymore. That's really great. Because they feel
another
like
little sorry, yeah.
Yeah, they feel like it's different. They feel like you are with them, you are on board mm-hmm. in the journey, right?
Mm.
I like that. Now I'd really like to know what moves you, what actually makes you want to do what you do. In other words, why you do what you do? Because this show is all about the why, the reason why people do what they do, because they could be doing any other thing. But for some reason, they've decided to pursue a career, Maybe they don't know why. It's funny. Some people are really like certain, are really like ready to answer. Some others are go like, I have no idea. I've never thought about it. I just started it. Next thing I knew, years passed by. So this always gives us good stories, interesting perspectives. So I'm curious to hear about yours.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the why changes, of course, as you go through, as you progress in your career or your journey. I mean, when I started, it was a very conscious decision to do this kind of work, because when I left school, I worked as a gardener, very different kind of work. And I got to quite a good level where I was like a manager. I had some people working below me. And it's quite a nice job because it's relaxing. You're working outside in nature, kind of. But it's not really something you can do for the rest of your life. You know, it's a bit physical.
Yeah.
So I took some time out and I kind of wanted to think about what I love doing. Like, what are my hobbies? What would make me happy? The only thing I could think of at the time was languages, because I was still learning Japanese at that time, and I couldn't do anything with Japanese because I just wasn't good enough to teach it. So I thought, the language I do know is English, my native language. So I decided to try to find a way to get into teaching English, but also combining it with my other passion, which is travel. So that's why I went with teaching English online. Mm-hmm. So when there's not a pandemic, I like to travel around, see the world, but also do some teaching while I'm doing it. And so that was my original why.
Okay.
And, you know, these days, you know, of course it evolves, it changes. I think I mentioned it a bit already. It's like the satisfaction of helping people is like a big reason I kind of wake up feeling motivated sometimes. And yeah, maybe that's it. And it's just like the satisfaction of doing a good job. I like to be.
And the fact that you know that you get the feedback from the students that you're actually making a change, helping them be better somehow or achieve their goals.
Yeah,
I like it. I really like it. And I feel like everybody should at some point or frequently from time to time think about their reasons. So some people just go about it and they don't know why they're doing what they're doing. And maybe they don't like what they're doing. They don't even know why they don't like it. They just think, I don't like what I do, but why not? What should you be doing instead? Mm. When you think about why you do what you do, and this is actually meaningful to you, that's it. I guess you found your way. You found your niche. It doesn't mean, like you said, it doesn't mean that like you can never change. Things change. We always change. But it's good to know that you feel like you're doing the right thing. You feel like you're doing something meaningful.
Yeah. I kind of believe, I'm not saying it with complete confidence, but I kind of believe that everyone can find something meaningful to do in life. Yeah. And because it's different, meaning's different for everyone, right? But I feel like everyone can find something meaningful. And as you said, like if you don't think about your why, it's really easy just to be, say, like to go on autopilot, and you're going to work every day. You're living out every day. You're not really thinking about it. And I think it's a good way to waste a big chunk of life. So
that's it.
Probably it's good to remind yourself, isn't it?
That's it. And I love one thing I heard some time ago. If you have enough inspiration, you don't need motivation.
Never heard that before. I like that.
Yeah. Does it make sense?
Yeah, if you're inspired to do something, I'm just rewording what you said.
Yeah, but that's it. That's it. Keep going.
Yeah, if you're inspired to do it, you don't need that goal. You don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to be intrinsically desired.
Exactly.
To do
exactly. What they say is, if you have inspiration, which means you're responsible for pushing yourself forward, it comes from within. You are inspired because you know your reason. You know your why, the reason why you're doing it. This means you don't need external reasons. You don't need external sources to push you forward every morning when you get up.
Yeah,
I found it so interesting.
Yeah, and another word I've heard for this, there's like the difference between extrinsic motivation.
Exactly.
And intrinsic motivation. Intrinsic comes from within, and that's more powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Thanks a lot for sharing all this info. It was pretty interesting, and I always like to understand a bit more about what, how, and why people do what they do. And with hopes, really hoping that other people get inspired. That's what we're talking about here. Inspired to pursue a career, to change careers. Maybe somebody's listening now and they're thinking, whoa, I've always thought about traveling around, traveling the world and being able to work. I love languages. You know what? Maybe I could do that just like Michael does. All right. So inspire people. This is, I think, something we can do with our actions, with our words sometimes, and also with our actions and attitudes. Does it make sense?
I would be so happy if anyone was inspired, because it's never too late to make a change like that in your life, is it?
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. If I may now, we're pretty much okay and done with the questions, the tough questions, if I may call them tough. But now,
I can relax. Question.
Were they tough? Were they challenging?
Yeah, no, not really. I don't know why. I didn't prepare, but I thought of something.
You didn't have to. That's the best we can get. I mean, whenever people are not really like, say, let's say, prepared, that's the best way, because it's more natural. And I want to ask you why, but now really different. Why did you decide to study Japanese and Chinese?
I mean, I don't really have a good reason. I don't have a good why. I mean, sometimes I feel like you're just drawn to something. It's almost like I'm not very like, I'm usually quite scientific person, but sometimes I feel like there's almost like this energy that pulls you to do something and you don't really know why. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that about Japanese. You know, many people will say through, you know, I like anime or something, or I like Japanese food, but I had no reason to study it. I never liked anime. I never liked manga. I just felt like I wanted to study. So I think I was 18 and I started learning Japanese. And I went there when I was 21 for the first time. And ever since I went there, that just like increased my love for the language. I want to keep traveling there. I want to learn more, connect with people. So really my main motivation is just connecting with people and traveling. And Chinese is a lot easier to answer because my partner is Chinese. So
there's always a different reason.
Yeah. So that is more extrinsic motivation. It's more for external reasons, right?
And how long have you been studying it?
I learned Chinese Cantonese for 1 year, which is another language, and I stopped. Okay. And then I switched to Mandarin. I don't know how long, it's probably been like 4 years, but to be honest, I've been studying really, really slowly and I haven't really improved that much because I haven't had much conversation practice. I think Japanese has been my priority for whatever reason. I don't know why.
And I'll just tell us, because we always have those people who are grammar lovers, or sometimes they're not even grammar lovers, but they've been taught that in order to master, to actually be fluent in a language, they need to know a lot or pretty much everything about grammar. Tell us about your experience with grammar in terms of quantity or percentage. How much of your time do you dedicate to devote to grammar when you're learning a language?
That's such a cool question. I could honestly talk for like an hour on that. I'm not going to. I'll try my best not to.
Okay.
But I think one reason why my Japanese isn't as good as it could be is because for the first, I think, 3 years, I didn't do any speaking, almost no listening. It was just grammar. Ooh. And some vocabulary. And it was just because I was young. I wasn't experienced. I didn't know how to learn a language. So I got really good at grammar. And then when I went to Japan for the first time when I was 21, I tried to speak to the guy in the airport, the security man, and I tried to say thank you. And rather than saying what I wanted to say, it just came out as like, blah, blah, blah. Like it wasn't comprehensible. It wasn't understandable at all. So that's that exact moment was when I realized like how important it is to learn to speak and to practice speaking. So now what I do is pretty much no grammar. I do listening every day. I do reading every day. I do speaking a couple times a week. And if there are any difficult grammar points that I come across when I'm reading or listening, I will maybe quickly research them and try to practice them through more speaking. But I don't have a textbook. I don't write anything. It's just all practice now. So it's a quite a simple method, I think, at the moment. And it's been working well for me recently.
The more experience we get, we understand in terms of learning a language, because I'm a learner myself. I've been learning French for a while now, Spanish and everything. And we learn that in reality, what made us become more fluent wasn't the grammar, but actually exposing ourselves to real life situations, exposing ourselves to listening to authentic materials such as YouTube channels. But I say YouTube channels when they're talking about things in life, having conversations, because otherwise you're going to be prepared for certain artificial situations that may not take place in real life. And when you get to an airport, just like you did, you have a hard time communicating.
Yeah.
And so that's it pretty much. I have the same opinion. I'm of the same opinion. You have to listen to real interesting things, interesting to you, not what other people think is interesting. And also speak a bit. A lot of people get so stuck, so caught up in mastering grammar, don't you think, as a teacher?
And then the downside is when you do come to speak, you're thinking about the grammar so much that you're hesitating. You're like, wait, what's the right way? And it doesn't really matter. Like if you make a mistake in grammar, it doesn't really matter. You can still understand it. So I something.
Exactly. I always say that the more grammar you know as a learner, the worse it is for you.
That's kind of true. Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah.
And they go like, how come, Douglas? If I know more, I'm better prepared. And I go like, think about it. The more you know about certain rules and prepositions and conjunctions and phrasal verbs, the more scared and the more hesitating you will be when it comes to making phrases, because you're too scared of forgetting the rules.
Yeah, totally. I think a lot of language learning is just what sounds right. Because, I mean, that's what native speakers do, which is not always a good person to follow. But, you know, as a native speaker, you don't think about the right grammar. You just say what sounds right as you're going. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're learning a language, it's a little bit the same, where if you just focus on what feels the best to say, what sounds right, you often have a really good flow. And if you have to stop and think about the grammar, that's going to put a pause in your sentence. And probably you would have been right anyway if you just continued without thinking too much. That's kind of my philosophy these days.
Nicely said. And I was about to ask you the final question, which would be a recommendation or your words, your thoughts on how to help learners, people who are here listening to us, and they are learning a language. Most of them are probably learning, if they're interested in this podcast, skills for life or languages. I was going to ask you a good piece of advice, but I think you just did it.
Yeah, and I think you did it as well. Like I would say what you said, like do what you enjoy. You might enjoy a textbook, that's fine. You might enjoy, reading blogs about specific topics like trains or something, and then you can just do that. Like, it doesn't have to be a certain way. You find what you like. So I think that's so important.
Fair enough. I want to say thank you for your time. Thank you for your energy. You're always enthusiastic. This is something that called my attention. And since the beginning, by the way, you have a great Instagram account, and I'm going to leave it in the description. But can you tell us, share a little bit of your social media, your info? You're on YouTube everywhere. Could you please?
I'm too many places. Yeah, thank you, though. But So Instagram and YouTube, English with Michael is my name. And my podcast is called the Level Up English Podcast. And that's really all you need to know.
From there, you can just go crazy and you'll find everything about it. You also have an academy, right? You have a community or something like that. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, so linked to my podcast, I have a website called levelupenglish.school. And, you know, on there, you can find the normal podcast pages and show notes, but also there's a kind of an online school where people can become a member. They can take kind of daily classes, courses, things like that. Yeah, I've got so much going on. And then, of course, I've got my private lessons over on my other website, ewmichael.com. So that's if you want to join my group classes or my one-to-one classes, that's the place.
Wow, see, once again, you're not just a teacher. I mean, if there's such a thing, you don't just teach. You do a lot of things at the same time. You don't even sometimes recognize and realize you're doing all of these things at the same time. Multitasking, for a second.
Website designer, social media manager, it's too much.
Well, so that's it. Once again, thanks a lot for joining us, for your kind words, for sharing your story. I hope you've had fun, and I hope the listeners, the audience, also had as much fun as I did.
Great, great podcast. I love it, and thank you so much for having me. It has been fun.
My pleasure. Bye for now. And that's it for today. I hope you had as much fun as I did while learning about the background and life stories that Michael told us in this episode. Just so you know, we have an academy, a skills academy, where you can learn and debate topics of interest with other members, all in English, 100% in English. So if you're an English learner and you want to improve your level of fluency and your confidence while debating, discussing interesting topics such as human behavior, resilience, customer experience, customer success, and other topics, or if you just want to learn more about these kind of topics and discuss, learn from other people while having fun, you should definitely check out the For Reason Academy. Okay, you can go to www.forreasonacademy.com, the number four, okay, forreasonacademy.com, or you can also go to English for Reason with number four, English for Reason on Instagram. Leave me a message. I'd love to hear from you in terms of this episode as well, in terms of your experience while listening to this episode. If you had fun, if you've learned some new experiences, some new expressions, if you're learning English, or if you simply had a great time just like I did. All right, it means a lot to me. I'll see you next time. Stay tuned for more. And bye for now.